What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show. Jeff Hathorn, Jim Cullen, and Sean Myers here with you on this New Year's Eve morning. I was wondering if you were going to react.
No, it doesn't feel like New Year's Eve when it's in the morning, though, does it?
No. No, but still, we were talking about stories of the year, and we were discussing the Steelers before the Hines Ward talk. For the Pittsburgh Pirates, another season, no winning year. However, the big story of the year, no doubt, only the third Pirates pitcher ever to win a Cy Young Award. Paul Skene's dominant 197 ERA, 0.95 whip, 216 strikeouts. Paul Skene's the runaway winner of the Cy Young Award, despite barely avoiding a losing record. What a season that Paul Skene's had for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, there was a little hesitation. Okay, how is he going to follow up that great rookie year? And, man, he did in big fashion.
Yeah, and then what this year turned into was, okay, why don't they give him some help? And, you know, and that's where we're going to go to here in just a little bit. And I'm trying to look some stuff up, because I want to go back and just make sure I have the numbers. At the beginning of the year, I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, because he gave up. I'm looking at his first few starts of the season where he had a stretch where all of a sudden he was getting, and it isn't that bad, right? He gave up two runs, then one run, then five. Okay, so that's an outlier. And then he gave up two and two, but it was like every time he gave up runs, you're thinking like, what's wrong with Paul Skene's? When he was just like a regular old guy when he looked like other pitchers. And I remember thinking at the beginning of the season, like, man, he's not quite, you know, the Paul Skene's that we expected. And then, but part of it is, like you said, to fight to not have a losing record is because you knew as soon as he gave up that second run that the Pirates had no chance to win the game.
I mean, even in the last 20, 25 years, the Pirates have had a few hitters that made you think, wow. You know, they had a home run champ in Pedro Alvarez. Andrew McCutchen won an MVP and did some amazing things. But they've never, Sean, had a pitcher like this.
So correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm going off of memory here. Third ever Cy Young winner in Pirates history, Doug Drabek and Vernon Law.
That's it.
So we're talking like, well, I'm guessing around 1960 and around 1990.
Yep.
So this is something that happens basically every 30 or 35 years at best. So don't take that for granted. I grew up being a big Doug Drabek fan. I remember when he was a top-notch pitcher, when the Pirates were very, very good. And it's kind of crazy to think that they haven't had anyone, as good as Gerrit Cole was at times, anywhere close to what Paul Skene's was able to do this year in an entire generation. Yeah, some people have never seen anyone in a Pirates uniform do this. And really, when we look at his historic numbers, you can match them up with anyone. Fernando Valenzuela, Dwight Gooden. Through 2 years, he matches up with just about any pitcher in baseball history.
Yeah, the frustrating thing with Cole was you saw him have those tremendous numbers with somebody else, not with the Pirates.
But once he stopped trying to throw those ground balls.
Derek Shelton fired as Pirates manager on May 8th. Pirates were 12-26 at the time. Overall, Shelty was 306-440. And it just had to happen, Jim.
Yeah, some people would say, why did it take so long? You know, that's another thing where was he ever really given the resources? And yet, at some point, when you bring in a guy who used to be a hitting coach and the team can't hit, then you have to start asking questions. And how was he at handling people? At some point, you just got to make a change.
And
they finally did. And everybody loves Donnie Kelly, as well they should.
Was named interim manager and then named full-time manager, Sean, after going 59-65 and with no managerial experience, obviously a ton of coaching experience. I actually think Donnie did pretty well with all the things that he had to deal with.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the team played better under him than they did under Shelty. That said, I don't think Major League Baseball managers make a massive impact over the course of a full season. They got that immediate lift, and I do think that there was some improvement. I think maybe his handling of the bullpen was a little bit better. One thing that annoyed me about Shelty is it seemed like he didn't manage with urgency in a situation where they needed to win every single game that they were in. So you have to treat games in April and May like must wins, because you know if you don't, you're not going to be around in August and September to compete. So we'll see how a full season plays out for Kelly. But I do think that he was an improvement. I just don't know it's enough of an improvement to really make a difference over a full season.
When did he get named coach exactly? Manager exactly? Because he could very well, he could pretty soon be the longest tenured professional coach in Pittsburgh. Because I don't know when News exactly took over.
Yeah, because even
what
the Riverhounds
was.
Made a change.
Yes, I know. I was actually thinking about that last night as I was nodding off to sleep. But that's obviously a huge story, changing managers. And the thing is that Donnie, outside of the Pirates trading maybe what would have been a useful part of the rotation, they're giving him some hitters. Like there's a couple, they've already brought in two. Some people think that the Rays deal actually brought in another useful hitter besides Lau, and then O'Hearn, and then if they bring in somebody else to play third base who can hit a home run every now and again, then all of a sudden he might have like a real lineup where he can put a real major league lineup out there.
So that's what's next. In the Pirate Stories of the Year here on New Year's Eve on the Fan Morning Show, Brandon Lau comes over from Tampa Bay with Jake Mangum and Mason Montgomery, who's a lefty reliever who had some moments. He's only 25, gets it up to 100 miles an hour occasionally. And then the Ryan O'Hearn free agent signing. I think there's still a little bit more meat on that free agent or off-season bone, but man, some actual Jim legitimate major league hitters, and both these guys are power hitting lefties.
And all of a sudden you've got guys outside of, if they could figure out just how to get Cruz just into a good space mentally, just so that he can just kind of relax and just be himself. And do we even know what himself is? I'm not sure, but where Reynolds, where there's not as much pressure on a guy like Reynolds, who is a, you know, could he be your best hitter? Maybe, but if it takes some pressure off of him in the lineup, where you've got guys around him, where, you know, Spencer Horowitz isn't your best offensive weapon, all of a sudden it looks like, hey, you know, and if Connor Griffin turns out to be anything at all,
well,
I'm yes. jumping ahead of your yes. list. I'm sorry.
Yes. Sean, do you think the Pirates like actually could have a lineup with just these guys, or do you need one more addition?
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the lineup.
I'm of the mindset you can never have enough hitting, especially if you're starting at a level that was as low as where the Pirates were last year. I don't want to be Mr. Negative, because I do think that these are legitimate additions to the lineup. I do think, however, because people in Pittsburgh are just not used to adding notable players at all in the offseason, that it's maybe being overvalued a little bit. I think Lau is a very legitimately good hitter. The question is he going to stay healthy, and where are you going to put him defensively? O'Hearn is kind of a more recent proven guy, because he had a pretty miserable career until about 3 years ago. And I know that WAR is not the end-all be-all, but he has a lower career WAR than what Bailey Falter had in his time in Pittsburgh. So he's not been a guy that's been a great major league player over the course of his career. I'm a little concerned that it's not a guy that I think you can count on as much as some of the other options available. Like, for instance, Eugenio Suarez, who's proven that he's going to be a 30 home run guy every single year. I have a little more skepticism with O'Hearn. And for Lau, I think the big question is, does he stay healthy, and where do these guys fit defensively? But there's no doubt their lineup will be significantly better just by those two additions alone.
I don't care what anybody does defensively. I really don't.
Well, does the pitching regress as a result of some of these moves?
I don't know. I just want guys who can hit. Now, maybe, are they going to start losing games 6-5 all the time? Maybe. But I really don't think so. I think, give me some guys. And Suarez, by the way, you mentioned him. Just give him a 2 year. If he's looking for a 2 year deal, that fits right into what the Pirates have available that they should be able to spend.
He's about $20 million a year, I think.
Yeah, so you put him with what, you know, yes, just do it. They're going to go on strike next year anyway.
Yeah, they've kind of started down that road. Now finish off with that third baseman. It could be a guy from Japan, a 29-year-old who is making the rounds right now, and the Pirates are rumored to be a part of that.
Does he wear a knee brace like Aki?
He does not. Pirates traded the hometown kid. I think he was three-time Roberto Clemente Player of the Year nominee for the Pirates, David Bednar, to the New York Yankees. As we look at the Pirates stories of the year, I understand it. I'm wary because there are times where Pirates have made trades. We're talking about the Rays, but Pirates have made trades with the Yankees, and you were optimistic about what they got back, and it turned out to be a whole bunch of nothing. I don't know if Flores is going to be anything. I get it, but, man, this dude loved being here. He had Icy Light in his locker, and he gets traded off to the New York Yankees is one of the stories of the year, Jim.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, really. But the Pirates have always been able to find closers. They've been able to find bullpen guys. And I don't think, like, Montgomery, he throws 100. Okay, if they can harness that, which, you know, Tampa Bay wasn't able to do that. But if the Pirates can somehow harness, they've been able to find bullpen guys. So I think it was worth it. I think it was worth a move.
I think you always trade bullpen guys if you can get either starting pitchers or position players that will make your major league roster. You always do that. However, I do think there's a slight concern if Pittsburgh gets better hitting and good starting pitching. Are you able to rely on the bullpen to close out games? Because that has been an issue the last couple of years, and at times Bednar was a part of those issues.
Yeah. Although, you know, the Pirates over the last 10 years have done a pretty good job of finding guys for their bullpen.
Yeah.
Maybe not insanely consistent guys, but they've found some guys that can fill roles for a period of time. They did sign Soto. Montgomery's going to be a piece of that. Santana looks like he could be someone in that role.
And would then, Jared Jones be a reliever?
So I am on the Jared Jones is my closer mindset. And I would hope Mason Montgomery would talk to him and say, dude, like I was kind of at a point as a starting pitcher where I was worried about a marathon, but instead I've just made it a sprint and it's helped my career. I would think for Jared Jones with his mindset, I don't think blown saves would bother him. It would allow him to just go out there for 20, 25 pitches and just fire pure heat.
I'm okay with it. That's how they find bullpen guys.
And I it's the mentality. It's all of it.
Some of it depends on how the other young starting pitchers perform as well.
It does, but I mean.
Well, he's not going to be ready for a few months anyway, right?
Right. So I'm telling him, as I work you back into the majors, we're going to start you in the bullpen. And then if he has success and he turns out that, hey, this is actually pretty cool, I don't mind this, and I could be, get paid doing this, that might be an option. But there's such a stigma with some of these guys about being a starting pitcher and that it takes a while. You know, guys like Majinski are still looking to potentially be a starting pitcher when probably their best role is in the bullpen.
Didn't Mason Miller make that transition after he was starting with the A's initially?
Well, you know what it was? As a starter, he got knocked around by a callus in a practice at Waynesboro.
Ah, that's what it was.
And then he decided, you know what? I got to do something else because this dude is killing me. And he became a reliever, and the rest is history. When we continue, we'll finish off the list of Pirate Stories of the Year. We'll get into Pitt and Pens. Ray Fittipaldi will join us at the top of the hour. And at 9 o'clock, it is, even on New Year's Eve, a Wednesday with Whaley. It's a fan morning show. It is 7:19, and it's time to make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.